Once again, we see just exactly how the evil one works in his craftiness. This dialogue with Eve is so instructive that, you know, again, I just have to believe this is completely inspired by God. I can't think otherwise. But of course, the first thing is that the author warns us that the serpent is the most cunning of all the creatures, and then, of course, shows his cunning. And he, of course, begins with a question, seems honest, right? He asks the woman, well, did God really ask you, not to eat of any of the trees in the garden? And she naively just tells, oh, we can eat from every tree, but not that one. Well, why not? We will surely die, and the serpent then goes on, and of course, it's all lies. That's the first thing to recognize. Step one, you will be presented with a lie that looks like a truth in order to induce you into sin. And of course, the fact is, the lie is completely contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God was, you're going to die. What does the serpent say? You're not going to die. So that's a first clue. Who's doing the speaking? But the second thing is another promise, a total lie. Well, when this comes, first part is not a lie. Your eyes are going to be opened and you're going to be able to see the difference between good and evil. And you too will be like gods. So, of course, the implication is that God doesn't want you to be like him. He's withheld something from you. But if you just take my advice, you're going to get the full measure. And you're going to become just like gods. And, of course, then Eve is going, And of course, that's where the devil wants us. So then when she's in her mode, she starts looking at the tree and she goes, oh, it's very desirable. And she's kind of pleasant to look at, should be good tasting, I'll just try one. Nailed. And that's basically how, once that happens, she, of course, compounds the problem by getting her husband involved in the very same thing that she's gotten sucked into. Their eyes are opened, and the rest, as they say, is history. But it is instructive. I mean, this, divine author, he's inspired. He sees how, evil works. And, of course, are we not subject to this in this culture to this very day? Not just in personal sin. Oh, absolutely, we are sucked into it. This is exactly how it works. It's okay, you can kind of compromise this divine writ just a little bit. Nothing's going to happen to you, says the devil, I promise. Then, of course, once you kind of start entertaining the thought of letting go of this divine writ and kind of violating it, then he's got the imagination under control. He's reeling you in. And of course, the next thing you're there. And of course, for the author, the divine author, the main thing is we know what God wants of us. If we stick with the plan of trying to be obedient to him, he says, by the way, I'm no perfect human being, right? This is kind of the serious stuff that when he's trying to really get you into something, right? This is not what I call the impulse drive toward whatever, I'm some angry thought or impatient thought. We're talking about, he's trying to reel you into just another category, into the darkness. It always starts with a lie, and then it's followed by a suggestion of something good is really going to happen that you wouldn't get otherwise. And then, of course, once you're in the darkness, the imagination's flowing. He's got you. It's happening in our culture, too. There's rationalization everywhere. Rationalization about what? Nothing's going to happen to you if you just neglect that old-fashioned divine writ in Scripture. I mean, Scripture, it's just like passé. It's been surpassed. Don't worry about it. And think of the things you're going to get with just a small little reconsideration of divine writ. And, of course, the culture in so many ways, like lemmings, turns on the imagination with each new ad and just goes over the cliff. These are the challenges we face, but we need to tell the world that what they really have to consider is don't think for a moment that divine writ is somehow a lie. Don't think for a second that this is not the truth. Don't think for a second that your opponent is not going to try these three steps on you. Don't think for a second that there's not an agenda of darkness out there every time you feel even the slightest temptation to violate that writ you know to be true. And of course, in the serious matters, right, if he can really get you into those seven deadly sins, he's so pleased because, of course, it causes such a dent that can be sometimes so hard to get out of. All sarcasm aside, though, Christ has saved us, and Christ is our light, and we can depend on his mercy, and if we do keep praying to him, he will not only pull us out of the darkness like God taking Faust away from Mephistopheles, but he will actually heal us and bring us to the fullness of life through our faith and our hope in him. Amen.